are you sadistic?
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 37 of the Attractions Podcast. I'm Banks.
And I'm Brittany.
And Brittany is doing some sort of weird plane.
I'm stretching.
Stretching. Oh, for those listening to the audio version, if you don't know by this point, we do this live stream on YouTube every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so you can catch the visuals of us recording and watch us stretching and
making funny faces and super zooms and all that.
Super zooms, stuff. Yeah, like that. Oh boy. as usual, we're going to take a look back at the past week from news articles at attractionmagazine.com and in our lives in general. So we got a lot to talk about this week. There is so much. We had Chasen last week, awesome special guest. We didn't get to do a lot of news discussion. So this week it's going to be boom, boom, boom news. But real quick, Brittany, what's going on out there in that Austin life?
Well, aside from the usual quarantine life, puppy.
Yes.
That's a thing. He started teething hardcore, and I learned that Frenchie's ears curl back while they're teething, and then they straighten back up when they're done teething, because I, like, freaked out. I was like, why are his ears curly all of a sudden? Turns out it's normal.
Learning new things.
He's super bitey, but very sweet. He also has learned that he can bark, which is fun. He usually
great when they're vocal.
Yep, he's super, super vocal. Well, they're a really vocal breed, but it's very funny, and it's hard not to like laugh because you're not supposed to encourage the bad behavior, but it's so funny.
you're in a house, not like an apartment complex, right?
Yeah, we're in a house. We have a backyard and everything, so he's got plenty of room to run around. But he's 10 weeks now, but he doesn't have full control of his bladder and everything, so we keep him confined to a playpen when he's in the house, and take him outside to potty and stuff because we can't trust him yet. But eventually he will have free reign of the house and everything.
Very, very, very cool. So mainly dog life.
Mainly dog life for now, but lots of games coming out that I will attempt to play with the dog in the house. We'll see what happens.
Very, very cool. So it's been, you know, things are starting to ramp up. We're going to talk about a lot in the news coming up here, but yeah, things are ramping up. So I'm starting to get out of the house more and more often, covering things, especially this upcoming week. I'm going to like three different places this week. So it's going to be pretty busy now, but making sure we're staying safe, of course, wearing masks, staying distant, all the fun stuff that we're going to talk about later on in the show. And I'll explain, because I did go to Gatorland today, actually. We'll talk about that a little later. Real quick, though, before we get going, I know everyone is here. We're excited to talk about the news and the things going on right now, but you can't really talk about the news without at least somewhat addressing what is going on in the world right now. I know we're here to just kind of take our minds off the real world, but I mean, things happening all over the country with the protests and Black Lives Matter and things like that. I just wanted to, this is me personally, I'm not talking representing all of Attractions here, but me personally, you know, with you guys, my thoughts and prayers and hearts go out to everyone out there. Please, please be safe, and just know, you can find me on my social media channels. I'm here for you guys if you ever need to talk, or, you know, I'm just trying to learn. I want to be with you guys.
Same. It's hard not to think about it, and it's everywhere. I've decided that I'm going to be making donations to the Austin Bail Fund next week, because there are protests happening in my city right now. And I hope everyone out there knows that we stand with you, we hear you, and we are here to listen and support you. And stay safe and go get tested for coronavirus if you're going out and protesting. Please,
exactly,
take care of yourself.
Yeah. On top of everything going on, I'm worried they're going to start seeing a spike in cases again. But you know, just stay safe. That's all we can say. And we're gonna keep going with the regular show here and talk about some fun stuff. So let's talk about some news in the queue.
All right. Well, Six Flags, though, only one Six Flags park is reopening next week. Frontier City. It's like a, it's its own thing, but it's branded as a Six Flags park. They've released some new guidelines and health and safety regulations that all the parks will be following once they reopen. Contactless IR thermal imaging, which is what you're seeing on screen, to check the temperatures of guests prior to entry and also check their belongings on their person, which is nuts.
Yeah.
Not what I expected for Six Flags. Like, I figured Disney and Universal would kind of employ this first, but cool to see Six Flags kind of changing the game with it. Right. All guests over the age of two and team members will be required to wear face coverings over the nose and mouth during their visit and workday. Any guests without a mask will be able to purchase one at the front gate, though, so don't worry about that. Accommodations can also be made on a case-by-case basis for those of you with disabilities, health concerns, religious restrictions, or other reasons as to why you can't wear a mask. There will be social distancing markers throughout the parks at all ride entry, exits, restrooms, retail locations, and dining queues. Dining areas will be adjusted to allow space between parties for social distancing. Guests will be separated by empty rows and or seats on all roller coasters, rides, and attractions. 6-foot viewing areas will be marked for guests to observe gameplay, arcade games in arcades. And arcade games will be reconfigured or deactivated to comply with social distancing. Indoor venues will have reduced capacity. Guest viewing outdoor entertainment will be separated by 6 feet, kind of like how we saw at Shanghai Disney with the boxes, likely. Mm-hmm. There will be new trained and dedicated cleaning teams, which I thought was interesting. Your increased sanitation, et cetera. Everything will be cleaned throughout the day. Modified menus and mobile food ordering will be implemented. Self-service buffets and salad bars will be reconfigured to eliminate guest contact. Condiments, self-serve cutlery, and napkins will be provided to guests. Beverages will be served by attendants. Let's see what else. All employees, this was interesting. All employees will be issued team member action packs, which include a safety face mask, safety glasses, and disposable gloves, which I thought was nice that they're kind of giving this kit to their employees. And the frontline team members will be going through extensive COVID-19 training and among other things. And there was also kind of the main thing is that the parks will be utilizing a new reservation system where you will take your ticket number, your order number, or your annual pass membership pass number, and you will select a day and the approximate time that you want to walk in those park gates. And if it's available, you can book it, and then you'll have to watch a short video that kind of goes over all of these safety procedures and things for you. And then you'll have to acknowledge that you understand, probably just like a little checkbox. And then you'll order your prepaid parking and then you're good to go.
We're going to be, and just a note, we're going to be hearing a lot of the same information for a lot of the parks we're going to discuss today in terms of social distancing and what they're doing to keep the parks clean. It really seems like practically every park that's reopening is basically following the exact same guidelines. So we apologize if we're going to be repeating information a lot this episode.
Yes. So it's good to note the differences and the uniqueness of each one, though, like the action packs and the touchless thermal screening and touchless bag checks, which is cool. And mm-hmm. I hope that they kind of start a trend with that and other parks adopt that.
Yeah. Like you said earlier, it's interesting that Six Flags of all parks is really doing this new type of bag check scanning. Obviously, you know, we'll talk about Disney a little later, and we're still over a month from them reopening. So there's still we could see an announcement between now and when Disney reopens that they have a new type of bag check instead of having security comb through by hand. We don't know at this point, but seeing what Six Flags has is pretty cool.
Yeah. And I think this whole situation is going to make them, the parks in general, rethink a lot of their operational, you know, traditions, like going through the bags by hand with the drumstick, you know, like having to send people through metal detectors and things. It's ultimately about trying to reduce guest contact and kind of keep that consistent as the parks move forward and out of this, because this isn't just a temporary thing. I would hope that most of these health and safety changes stay or at least modified for the future.
Yeah, of course, definitely. Especially when it comes to like the bag checks and tickets and, you know, food ordering, like these are all things that can be made permanent.
Yeah. All right, next up, World of Disney reopened at Disney Springs this week.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a doozy, guys.
It's a hot mess, I think they was.
Oh, someone said it was a hot. I mean, I watched, Josh and I watch a lot of theme park live streams on YouTube, and so many people went to Disney Springs for WOD, and it was slammed. Like, slammed in a way that makes me nervous.
Well, luckily, it was just the first day. It was the first day crowds. It was, we'll get to it.
Yeah. But they reopened with a ton of new safety and health features and protocols. And our very good friend Theron went and braved the crowds to mm-hmm. check it out for us. So once you arrive to World of Disney or the Marketplace Co-op, which opened on the same day, you'll be placed in a virtual queue with your phone, and it's text-based. So you'll give a cast member your phone number and your name and how many guests are in your party, and it will text you initially to be like, hey, you're in the queue. And then when it's your turn to go in, it'll be like, hey, a cast member can come let you in. Please come to the entryway. And you will have to go to a specific entry point for each store, and there's a specific exit for each store as well. And you have 30 minutes to return after you get your second text message telling you that it's your turn to go inside. Otherwise, you'll have to restart your wait and rejoin at the back of the virtual queue, which is annoying. So don't do that to yourself.
Yeah.
So once you're inside, the store appears to be less crowded. I don't know what the daily occupancy is, but I saw someone post that it was 400 people at a time per day.
Okay.
I don't believe that is fact. I saw it on Twitter.
Yeah.
So it's going to be crowded, and there are going to be lots of people touching all the same stuff. But there is signage that says, don't handle the merchandise. If you need a cast member, go please get one. Yeah, because that was. And, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just gonna say that's gonna be a little tricky for me to get used to, honestly, because with my eyesight, I have a hard time. I have to pick up and look at things up close, especially when I'm looking at details of a shirt or something. So I've been really trying to catch myself from just picking up items when I'm browsing shops nowadays, especially at Target. I'm just kind of having to lean down and squint and get as close as I can without touching things. So it's especially like shirts. If you want to look at the back of the shirt, it's near impossible to do that. So it's going to be interesting to see how this is going to work out, trying not to touch as many stuff as possible.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like a hypochondriac, so I am like so scared of getting sick. But all the streams that I watched, oh my God, it was like a horror movie. They were picking up stuff, everything, and like just touching stuff, picking it up like, oh, look at this. It's so cute. Putting it back, and then like two more people would pick it up, and I'm like, you guys, stop picking up things.
Yeah, luckily, I haven't been to World of Disney since it reopened. I've only been to Disney Springs once. That was pre-WOD. Just went to Earl and left. But from what I saw from the first day, it was, like I said, a hot mess. Like, just the first day crowds of wanting to get in there, mixed, I think, with like half first day crowds, half eBay pirates that are going in and getting stuff because they had, they didn't announce this ahead of time, but the monthly Minnie Mouse collection that they've been doing, I think they had some of the Mad Tea Party one in stock on the first day, and all the eBay people just pounced all at once, and that they were gone by the end of the day.
I wish Disney would instill a new like three item limit.
Two. It needs to be two item because that's what Disneyland does.
Okay, we need it. Disney, if you're listening, stop the pirates.
Yes, thank you. It always bugged me even before all this, like whenever I was going and getting like a parks exclusive pop at the Pin Traders, it will always bug me. Like, okay, it's a limit to 10 per person. And I'm like, 10 per person? Like, come on now.
Well, their way of combating it, or at least what I've seen, is that they let these people come in and they buy 10 at a time each transaction because it's only limited per transaction. So you could buy 10 and then go back and get 10 more and then buy them again, is that they just overflow, like oversaturate the market with these items. So they'll restock them. I do remember the first few, like the Jolly Roger Funko Pop launch, like two or 3 years ago, where it was just that first run and then they were gone forever. And now if they launch a new pop, it's like four or five restocks after that. And they still have some left over. I think that's their way of combating it. Just kind of distilling the market a bit, but that doesn't fix it.
No, it doesn't fix it at all. And it's near impossible to, between Shop Disney and like the in-person eBayers, it's so hard to like get things you really want nowadays.
Yeah. And especially right now, come on guys. But anyway, if you're in the shop, you'll see some new floor markings that will help keep you socially distant. And there are also plexiglass barriers in front of the registers to add that extra bit of distance because you're so close to cast members. And they also recommend, they have signs recommending cashless payment via phone or card or Disney gift cards to avoid handling cash. But yeah, it seemed to be a fairly fine opening after the first day.
No, it's now back to normal. You walk right in. It's like no issues whatsoever. It was just that one first day that was like, eesh, hopefully it's not like this every day. And luckily it's not.
And then guests are keeping, or at least when Theron visited, he said 100% of the guests that he saw were obeying the mask rule and very conscious of the 6 feet social distancing rule and very like self-aware of their position against other people in the store. But your face says otherwise.
I always have that face because my wife Sydney was at Disney Springs yesterday and she said half the people she saw were wearing the mask completely wrong. Either didn't cover their nose or were just covering the chin or just had it around their neck.
Guys, if you don't wear it right, it doesn't help you.
It's a little bit of my visit from Gatorland today, but I'll go ahead because it's relevant to the mask thing. So I went to Gatorland and they gave me one of their themed masks to wear for the segment. That's cute. Is like a really cool snakeskin mask, and I still have it. It's one of the ones that's like elastic that you kind of put over your neck, and then you do pull it up over your mouth.
They're called like gators, I think so. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, something I think. Like that. But it was really nice, really breathable. Like it barely fogged my glasses up, which was great. But I will say, as someone with like a thick, huge beard, it like really made my beard itchy and made me realize, like, yeah, you should. People with big beards need to be able to shave them down because it just does. Masks don't really work that well with a big beard like this. So when we're done recording tonight, I'm going to shave this off because we're heading to Legoland tomorrow. So I want to be comfortable.
You should do like funny like phases. That's the word I needed.
I'm just going back down to the goatee. It's been a while since I've had the goatee, but
that would be funny.
No, I ain't doing that. I've been up at 3:30 this morning. I ain't got time to make funny little TikTok videos, Brittany.
So. I didn't say TikTok. I feel like I'm too old for TikTok. It's just not for me.
You're too old. I am. My 5-year-old daughter watches TikTok now, and she's always like, "Daddy, look at this TikTok." And I'm just like, "Ow, I think my back just gave."
Where's my walker?
I know, right?
Oh man, speaking of kid stuff that I'm somehow not too old for yet, we've got some incredible, and I'm not just exaggerating, these look crazy, photos of what looks like a practically finished Super Nintendo World at Universal Studios Japan. This is nuts, you guys. This is insane.
It's crazy. This is like the first really good shot of the land that we've had since construction basically finished. I think they're still working on stuff on the pathways and in the shops, but I mean, you look at that, it's practically done on the outside. And I just love the scale of it compared to like, it's right there next to Potter. And I love how it's kind of in its own little hole, kind of like Diagon Alley.
And I think, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is our first look, including the warp pipe entrance. Because people were freaking out on Twitter. They were like, "What? You go through a warp pipe?" And I was like, "Yeah, You guys didn't know? I mean, I guess you have to visualize it, but man, it looks cool. And there's so much packed into this tiny little like baseball diamond, basically, except a million times bigger. And it's just,
If they don't have the warp pipe sound effect when you walk through, I'm just going to say, you know, tear it all down.
Throw the whole land away.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see. Amusement Labs. I see your comment about the expansion. Yes, there we go.
I was going to say, like, yeah, if you look right here in this photo, you can definitely see the expansion pad right here. And it's the perfect shape of what we've seen concept wise of it. Right. In fact, this right there, I don't know if you can see my mouse circling, this right here. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That looks like a temple entrance, which is supposed to be like a temple mine car ride for Donkey Kong. And you can even see like kind of up here, it looks like they've already started some kind of construction.
Yeah. It almost looks like they're all but waiting for the green light to start building the expansion. Yeah. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to get it started before the park reopens.
Like, look at this. Just this one shot of, look at all this. Like, oh my goodness.
Oh my God. Coaster Labs?
Wait, what?
Amusement Labs is Coaster Labs. What's up?
You're Coaster Labs. Hey, man. One time, man. How are you?
What's up, man? Anyways.
Hey, Kat. Good to see you.
Yes. Coaster Labs also pointed out that at the entrance, I don't know if you can see it, there's like a warp pipe photo op.
Yeah, it's in the other photo. Let me pull that up.
So cute. I think that was actually in the teaser video that they released a couple months ago.
For those listening to the audio version, this is a great time to remind you that we are live streaming this on YouTube, so you can see these visuals. So you know, go catch the replay of this if you want to take a look, or go to our website to see the article about this to pull up the photo yourself. But yeah, it's just, I cannot wait. It's so colorful, and the Yoshi ride there with just going. Oh, I can't wait.
Yes, it looks so good, and man, I just want to go. I want it to be safe so I could go. It looks so cool. And I was talking to Josh about this, and I would love to get your opinion. So mm-hmm. Blue Sky, when Epic Universe opens someday, someday in the future, and we get this. So for Super Nintendo World, the Mario section, they chose Super Mario 3D Land as the design inspiration, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. So if they were to build a Legend of Zelda themed expansion, what game visually would you want it to emulate?
Let me think for a second. While I'm thinking, so obviously Japan, this is their phase one. They're potentially going to get Donkey Kong phase two. Ours at Epic Universe is supposed to have both this and Donkey Kong open at the same time.
Yep.
As a one complete land. So it'll be, we'll have to see if Japan gets their Donkey Kong first or if we get it. And then Hollywood is only getting the Mario Kart ride. I don't even think they're even getting the Yoshi ride.
No.
So sorry, Hollywood. Y'all don't have a lot of space out there. But okay. So what's Zelda? Yeah. So tell me what Josh said and let me think.
Okay, so I think we both feel like you would have to go with the most recent IP with Breath of the Wild and Breath of the Wild 2. But I feel like the cell shading art style for it might prove complicated to replicate in an attractions like real life setting. But you definitely couldn't do like Wind Waker.
No. Here's what I think. I think it's going to be kind of like what you're seeing right here with Super the Mario section, mm-hmm. where it's kind of an amalgamation of several different elements and games. I think it's just going to be like an amalgamation of several different visuals that you've seen, like maybe a majority of the influences on Ocarina of Time, but then you have other elements from other games like Breath of the Wild, maybe, because like there is no definitive Hyrule.
Yeah.
Like Hyrule change the look of it changes practically every game. So I think Ocarina of Time could be the one where they start basing how it would look in reality.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're gonna have like the village and Death Mountain will be like a giant backdrop. Then of course, you know, the castle, but it's hard to kind of pinpoint exactly, but I think Ocarina would be a good starting point.
That's my dream someday when this park opens one day, that they will decide to, do a Zelda expansion and an Animal Crossing mini land, because we deserve that.
Yep.
We deserve it. But anyway, just wanted to show you guys that. It looks super cool. I hope the park reopens soon. As of right now, they don't have a reopening date or any kind of announced timeline for us to follow. So we'll keep you updated on that.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, next up, for you home VR fans, ILMX Lab is working on a new experience with Oculus inspired by Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
This looks nuts.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see how they're going to translate a theme park land into Star Wars video game world into VR. they've only released one screen grab, and I'm going to be honest, it doesn't really make me feel anything or show me anything.
So it's not supposed to be like you're visiting Black Spire Outpost. I mean, that's, yeah, you can do that at the parks. This is supposed to be the countryside, the other parts of Batuu, like the outer rim of Black Spire Outpost, and that's what it looks like. It looks like the country in that screenshot.
But it seems really exciting. It's going to be an original experience. Where you will be living inside of Batuu and exploring all of it. It will feature new and established characters from the Star Wars universe, along with multiple styles of gameplay and difficulty settings, which I find interesting because I want to know what that means.
Yeah, right. Like maybe you're going on like a mission for Oga to procure something from another town on Batuu.
Yeah, like, will you be using blasters or a lightsaber? Are they going to be, like, really agile? I've only ever played home VR, like, one time. Like, are you going to be jumping around on stuff or, like, traversing through places? I just want to know what it means.
Yeah, right? Yeah, you make your own Ronto wraps. Get the cookbook that they're selling. Make your own Ronto wrap and eat it while you're walking through.
Get the nose attachment for smell-o-vision with your Someone should make that. Well, I need. Yes. Yikes.
You pay $1 per step in the VR land. Yes, you have to. It's a requirement.
And then $500 for the peripheral so you can do it at all. They haven't said what Oculus peripheral that this will be going on, but the Oculus Quest is the newest one. So I would assume it would be for Quest and probably the first model back from that one.
I'm excited to add to the world building of Batuu. I mean, and the Black Spire Outpost, it's already got, like, if you know where to look and what to see and do, like, it's got a rich backstory already just in the theme park. So to be able to kind of build upon that story of the planet and learn more about the planet that you can't get at the park, I think that's a really cool thing. And it can make you appreciate more things when you go back after playing.
Yeah. We just got to wait. It's supposed to come out later this year. So if you've got an Oculus peripheral at home, keep an eye out and let us know, because I'm interested. I probably won't pick up an Oculus Quest or whatever, but I'll look up videos on YouTube.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, next up. Things are about to get spicy in here, so turn down your AC. So, in preparation for reopening in July, Disney announced a new theme park reservation system. And to accommodate that new system, they are eliminating FastPass and canceling all dining and experience reservations.
This is big.
Yeah.
That's understating it a little bit, but I mean, rest in peace, FastPass. I remember when you debuted in 2014.
Listen, when Disney said this, I was like, oh, Lord, the Karens are coming.
Oh,
they're gonna be so mad. Oh, man. I'm honestly, and this is where Banks and I are going to get controversial. Throw FastPass away. Throw it all away. Get rid of it. I hate it. It sucks. It ruins the theme park experience at Disney. Get rid of it.
I'm going to agree with Brittany, everyone. FastPass, you know, yes, it's nice to, you know, skip the line and get to the ride, but it makes the standby lines suffer so much. And plus you miss elements of the queue and story sometimes. It's just, if we just have one standby line and keep it moving, I mean, I'm fine with this.
Oh, geez. I don't know. And Coaster Labs, that's like the thing, is that what they plan to do with FastPass queues by not utilizing them is kind of looping the queue with guests to accommodate social distancing. And virtual queues will be allowed for certain attractions. So you'll still have that queue like digitally, but it won't be FastPass. You won't be able to reserve a time in line.
And Amusement Labs, I mean, he's got a point. I think this could be a MaxPass type thing coming to here. And I would be all for it because MaxPass, from what I've seen, works.
I used it my first trip at Disneyland, and it was $10 at the time. It was the best $10 I spent, and I would have happily continued to spend it if I had stayed longer. It made it so much easier to get on rides. It wasn't a big thing. And the queues were not long. I don't think we waited more than like 30 minutes in a line ever.
Brian, no, this does not include Disneyland. Right now, this is just Walt Disney World. Disneyland hasn't even announced a reopening date yet. So anything you hear is just Florida.
Yep. But we're keeping an eye on Disneyland too. I think they're in phase two now. Orange County is in phase two of reopening there.
I think so.
In addition to the FastPass thing going away, so Walt Disney World is not selling any new theme park tickets or booking new hotel reservations at this time, which is also huge. And this is to help focus on those who already have existing reservations and tickets. So existing ticket holders and annual pass holders will be able to make a theme park reservation on this new system before new tickets are sold to the public. And Disney will reach out to you if this applies to you soon. And then after these guests have received their reservations, guests who don't already have tickets or passes will be able to purchase tickets and make hotel reservations at that time. And of course, the theme park reservations will be limited and subject to availability, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. So here, I think there's going to be a lot of upset pass holders because the days are going to fill up quickly. I don't expect Disney to allow every spot for a day to be filled with pass holders. It may be, we've got, say, 70% of the day crowd is going to be pass holders, but we're going to save 30% for day of tickets and visitors. I think that's how it's going to work, is maybe some sort of split and percentage of how many tickets or spots are going to be given out to pass holders. So there's going to be a lot of people that may not get to visit for a little while because dates are going to fill up quickly.
And honestly, like, are people going to come out of state for this if they have tickets, or are they going to take the refund and then it'll mostly be locals? Like, what kind of situation are we going to see here?
And this is something that we've talked about many times in the past. I think it's going to be mainly locals at first. And I highly suggest, if you're out of town, don't make a vacation just because Disney is reopening. You know, give it a little time. Let them get used to it with the local crowds, because you, at this point, it seems like you may not even be guaranteed to get a spot to go to a park one day. So,
just,
you know, maybe wait until the fall when it gets less busy and let the locals kind of take the rest of the summer to work out the situation and iron out the kinks. Because this is going to be a brand new reservation system for Disney. There will be problems. I guarantee you there will be problems. Just judging by history. So let them get to figure it out, and then maybe in the fall decide if you want to make it down. It's just going to be so interesting to see how this all works.
And as for dining and experience bookings, so that kind of that encapsulates tours and like character dining, regular dining, Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, the former Pirates League, rest in peace. So to help enforce physical distancing once the parks reopen, restaurants and other experiences like behind the scenes tours will be limited in capacity, and some may even be closed if they can't accommodate those capacity needs. All existing dining reservations and experience bookings which include Disney dining plans included in vacation packages. So very sorry if you booked one and got one of those, have all been canceled, or they will be canceled if they haven't already been. Dining and experience bookings will reopen with more limited numbers closer to the park's reopening dates in July. The booking window will also be changed from 180 days to 60 days, if that affects you at all, so that guests can plan closer to their visit. And also, extra magic hours will no longer be a thing for the foreseeable future.
This is going to be take a drink, because we say it every week. This is going to be a new normal.
Yep.
New normal. And it's going to be so weird to get used to it, but we're going to have to, because it's not going to be something that they're going to do for a month and then go back to the regular way.
No.
We're going to see this for a long while. So we're going to have to get used to this new system.
And another thing, they kind of snuck this little doodly-doo in there with this update. They changed the age requirement for face masks. It used to be guests ages 3 and up. So if you were old enough to have your own ticket or annual pass, you had to wear a mask. Now it's ages 2 and up. So little Oliver is going to have to pretend to be 1.
Yeah, Oliver's 1 year old for a little bit, at least until he can. God, like, so I understand, because, you know, 2 year olds are, they're practically walking. Like, Oliver's running. I think a majority of 2 year olds are walking at this point. So I understand why, but most 2 year olds, including mine, won't wear anything on their face for more than a minute. So it'll be interesting to see how they are going to, you know, enforce that and police that, because it's, Oliver ain't going to wear it for very long.
And they've been asked, I think it might've been the Sentinel that said it. Someone asked Bob Chapek, or it might've been on like CNN or something. I know he made an appearance recently about enforcing the mask thing, and he dodged the question, not really saying like, we're going to kick people out if they don't wear the mask. They just said, we believe that guests would want to follow the rules, something along those lines. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Brian's got a good question. Do you think Universal is going to take away Express Pass?
See, I don't know, because you have to pay for that, and Fast Pass is like included.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
They may limit the amount of Express Passes they sell.
Yeah, that might be how they do it. Geez, I don't know. That's a great question.
Yeah. And Rodney, yep, little kids are not going to keep a face mask. Spencer will keep hers on, but Oliver just, you know, he can talk, but he barely doesn't understand things.
Right.
So he's not going to understand what the mask means just yet.
Well, Spencer is old enough where you can be like, hey, you need to wear this mask to keep you safe. I'll tell you when you can take it off. Just to make sure you keep it on. She'll understand. But Oliver is like, what?
Yeah.
All right. Next up, Universal Orlando has announced a phased reopening for a few of its resort hotels. And by a few, that's all except for two of them. they will reopen to guests on June 2nd. And the ones that will be reopening are Hard Rock Hotel, Royal Pacific Resort, Loews Sapphire Falls Resort, Cabana Bay, Aventura, and Endless Summer Surfside Inn and Suites. So those will all be reopening to guests on June 2nd. And guests staying at these hotels will be able to visit the parks on June 3rd and 4th during those special preview days before it opens to the public on the 5th. So if that's you, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to be there on Wednesday. They've invited a select few media to come out and cover all the things happening. So we'll be out there showcasing all that. I'm not sure when I'm going to go out regularly. No, yeah. I'm not doing the previews, so I'm not going to go first day. I've seen what happens on first days for things, and it's not pretty. So yeah. I'm going to give it a little time before I go out. Exception is tomorrow at Legoland. I'm going out on its first day, but I trust that park. It's, yeah. And plus, it's not a big park like Disney Universal. You're not going to have like a whole crowd of people. I assume we'll find out tomorrow. Yeah.
So the other two hotels that are not reopening, Portofino Bay and Dockside Inn and Suites, their opening will be announced at a later time. And guests who have reservations booked at these two hotels will be contacted to modify their reservation if it's been affected. But here are the protocols and health and safety regulations that they're installing. Required face coverings in public areas for guests and team members. Temperature checks required upon arrival for team members and vendors. Temperature checks required for guests upon arrival. Guests will be asked to self-screen for COVID-19 symptoms and comply with quarantine orders prior to arrival. Hand sanitizer stations will be in public areas and elevator landings. They will have enhanced cleaning of guest rooms, meeting rooms, and public areas with an EPA-approved cleaner and disinfectant. Frequent cleaning of high-touch areas like telephones, remote controls, door handles, light switches, elevators, tabletops, and others. Food and beverage outlet capacities will be limited. Social distancing signs and reminders of social distancing requirements will be installed in high traffic areas. And several contactless experiences will be implemented, like hotel texting services, express checkout, and contactless room deliveries for room service.
Yeah. John in our chat has a, good point. Dockside technically never did open.
Yeah.
It was getting right open right when things closed down. And we got to take a tour of it, and it's really nice. I really like the way it looks there. So excited for when people can actually go and visit it. But yeah, so we'll see.
I'm sure they will do some kind of like makeup opening thing event once it's safe.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure they will. But it's exciting to see things are starting to kind of come back online, as they say. Yeah,
a little scary, but exciting. I'm mostly just interested to see how it all goes, and then to see the spike or no spike of cases after this starts. Because if we can manage to get through it safely and have not a lot of cases come up, you know, who knows what this will inspire the rest of the country to do if it's safe, you know?
And this is a good transition into our main attraction, because we're going to talk about what the parks are doing. And, you know, from what I've seen, you know, the parks are doing their, you know, damnedest. They're doing the best they can. They have the best protocols that they can possibly put in to keep you safe. If you're listening to this, you're watching this, it's all on us. We are the ones that need to abide by these rules and follow them, because, you know, they're doing everything they can. And they're doing all the right things from what I've seen in person and seen with all these lists. And we just have to make sure that we follow them.
Yeah. So with that being said, we are going to take a look at the new safety measures for Gatorland, Legoland Florida, Universal Orlando, SeaWorld Orlando, and Disney, even though it doesn't open for a month. But the rest, Gatorland has already reopened, and the other three will be opening within the next week or two.
Yeah. And like I said earlier, we're probably going to hear a lot of the same info, and we'll, Brittany, I guess you have the lists. We'll try to condense it and keep it short, because everything is practically the same with the one or two exceptions. But there's going to be a lot of info.
All right. So for Gatorland, the park reopened, I believe, on the 23rd of May.
Mm-hmm.
And they have quite a bit of what you would expect, but also not what you would expect. So all queue lines for their attractions and shows and things have been marked for safe physical distancing. So the floor markings and stuff. All of its venues, so food, rides, attractions, viewings, have all had reduced capacities. All seats and rides and transaction counters, etc., are disinfected after each use. All contact surfaces are sanitized frequently throughout the day. All public surfaces throughout the park are thoroughly disinfected every night. There are over 50 additional hand washing and hand sanitizing stations at Gatorland. All employees are required to have their temperature checked before working and wear masks at all times, but guests are not required to wear masks. And if I'm not mistaken, guests don't have to do temperature checks either, or do they?
From what I saw, no, they're asked questions. They're asked like, hey, have you had any fevers? Have you visited outside the country, outside the state over the past 14 days? The general questions. But they don't get temperature screenings. All the employees at Gatorland do. I saw it firsthand today. The employees check in, they get their temperature screened and given the go to go to work. So they are given.
And there is limited capacity of guests in the park. So that to keep in mind.
So, as I said, I did go to Gatorland today. We filmed a segment for this week's episode of the show. Went really, really well. I was very happy with what I saw. Yes, there are guests that are arriving and walking through the park, not wearing masks. It's really their choice. They're not requiring it. But you know, everything I've seen with Gatorland, they're doing a great job. And with the social distancing they have going on in the park, the no mask wearing doesn't really matter because, you know, people are staying distant. They only are letting in 25% capacity right now. So there's wide open spaces at Gatorland and everyone was following the rules and staying safe and staying away from people. Like I saw a family was looking in one of the enclosures for like one of the big alligators. And then there was another family waiting to walk up and see them 6 feet away, and they're waiting for the family to leave before they went up to the enclosure. So that was nice to see, and all the hand sanitizing, lots of hand sanitizing. And let me tell you my favorite element.
I know what it is.
This guy.
Listen, when I saw this come up on Twitter the day that they announced it, I lost my mind. I was like, this is brilliant and hilarious. It's so good.
The social distancing skunk ape is one of the best marketing ploys that a park has done. Like, he is hilarious. He's got a handler that's with him that's helping translate his grunts and growls, you know, making sure the families stay 6 feet away from him. Like, he's using the spray and the rag there to clean things. It's just, oh, so brilliant.
It's such a fun and wholesome way to kind of make light of the situation, but not in a way that kind of belittles everything going on. It's just like, hey, this is a thing that exactly. We have to deal with now. Why not make the best of it?
Yes, Amusement Labs, the floor sticker business is booming because there are lots of stickers around Gatorland for the queues, for like the snack shops and the shows. The shows have, I'll pull that back up. Yeah. The sanitizers are in things that you would, you know, do that with your hand or some giant bottles you just squeeze. I don't think anyone's going to be able to take sanitizer, at least from Gatorland. But yeah. So the shows, the seating, they have red lines on every other bench so that there aren't people sitting directly behind or in front of you. The off-road buggy adventure ride that they do there, they've taken out the two middle rows so that people don't sit close to each other on that ride now, which is great to see. So like everything that they're doing is looking really, really good. It's just the no mask thing that I know is a bother to a lot of people, but wear your mask when you go. Don't really worry about the others because there really aren't going to be that many others because of the low capacity they're doing.
All right, next up is Legoland Florida, which reopens to guests tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And they've got some stuff going on too. Here's the general things. Masks are not required for guests, but they are required for employees. Mm-hmm. They recommend that you wear the mask, though, so they're giving you the choice.
And that's the one thing I forgot to mention about Gatorland, because it's going to be the same with Legoland, is even though you're not required to wear a mask, they are giving out free masks to those who arrive and don't have a mask. If they want one, you can get one for free.
That's nice.
Yeah. The one I was wearing in the photo is something that you can buy in the gift shop. But like the cheap surgical medical masks, they're giving them out for free at Gatorland. I'm not sure what the mask is at Legoland. I'll find out tomorrow, but they are provided complimentary if you don't have one.
Temperature screenings though at Legoland Florida are required for both guests and employees. So you will have to undergo that. There is also limited capacity at Legoland Florida as well. The temperature threshold for all of these parks is 100.4 degrees Fahrenheit. So, you know, it's going to be the same across the board.
Right. Amusement Lab, Six Flags is making you buy a mask. I know different parks are going to have different procedures. I think because Legoland and Gatorland are smaller parks, they want to be able to have the convenience of giving one out for free. And then if you want like a higher quality one, you'll be able to buy one. I know Universal has masks you can buy and sanitizer you can buy. So I think it's just up to the park, what they want to do.
And Legoland will also have the floor markings and such, but they will be brick themed, which is cute. Mm-hmm. And model citizens, the park's employees, will also be throughout the park scattered to kind of monitor attraction queues and things to make sure that social distancing is being enforced. Legoland will also be working on creating a safe space on its attractions, which include leaving empty rows or seats between guests on rides. Character meet and greets and other select attractions will also be closed at the time of reopening. So Sorry if you wanted to meet characters. The restaurants in the parks have been rearranged to encourage social distancing. There will be limited capacity for the stores, restaurants, guest service buildings, and other locations to maintain social distancing in the park. Self-service buffets have also been reconfigured to accommodate this, and cutlery and condiments will now be provided to guests with their meals, so you don't have to go get it yourself. Certain areas like water fountains, restaurant stores, and some attractions may be temporarily suspended or closed at the time of reopening. And more than 200 hand sanitizing locations have been added throughout the park.
Yep. I'm excited to see it all in person tomorrow and report on it and show off to everyone. I've already seen some photos. They had an employee day and friends of employees, and our friend Jeff and Denise from Mouse Steps were out there and they're sharing some photos. The signs are so cute. Like, they have really cute, cause it's Legoland, you know, they have fun with some of their stuff there. So, you know, they're keeping it light for the kids, cause it is primarily kids park. So you want to keep it fun for them. But from what I've seen, they're doing a good job. I can't wait to see it in person tomorrow. I lost my train of thought. So,
Legoland Pirate Island Hotel also opens tomorrow.
It is opening tomorrow. I'm excited to see. Hopefully, go inside there and take a look at that. I keep going back to this. Amusement Labs made a really funny comment. The scariest house at HHN. Small quarter of a room with the sound of someone sneezing.
Oh, God. That sounds. Oh man, just wait till they actually talk about Horror Nights, and then we have to go through all of that. Just wait.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Speaking of Horror Nights, Universal Orlando Resort will reopen to guests on June 5th after a phased reopening on June 1st, 2nd, the 3rd, and 4th. Here are the basics that you need to know. So masks will be required for guests and team members. Mm-hmm. Temperature screenings will be required for guests and team members. There will be limited capacity, but no reservations required to visit. So that's the general stuff. So June 1st and 2nd, Universal Orlando will be hosting a team member preview. So if you're a team member and you got a spot, good for you, because I heard that they were hard to get. Mm-hmm. June 3rd and 4th will be, I assume, media along with annual pass holders, hotel guests invited to come and visit. And then June 5th is when they officially reopen to the public. And Universal will manage daily attendance. They did not say what capacity they're reducing the park to. So I can't give you that, but they said that they will be managing capacity. Let's see. There will also be staggered parking. So you'll have a car park in one spot and then an empty spot or two empty spots, and then another car will park. Managed and reduced attraction ridership, show attendance, and restaurant seating with some areas and events closed. Increased cleaning, social distancing throughout the parks, use of virtual lines, contactless payments. All dining menus will be converted to single use so they can toss them after you use them. Guests will be required to use hand sanitizer before boarding rides, and team members will hand out 3D glasses. We talked about this last week. So that's par for the course, I think. Yeah.
This will be the first major theme park reopening, especially here in Orlando. And Gatorland, Legoland, they're big places, but they're primarily locals, smaller on the smaller end of the scale. But Universal, you know, it's one of the big three. So it's going to be interesting to see how it works out there. And I'm excited to go out on Wednesday and see it all in person. But it's just. Can't really talk about much because I haven't seen it yet, but that'll be a discussion for next week. That's for sure.
Yes. I can't wait to hear your thoughts. SeaWorld Orlando is next, opening on June 11th after hosting an employee preview night on June 10th. And here are the basics for them. So required masks for guests ages 2 and up and employees as well. Temperature screenings are required for guests and employees. As far as I know, no limited capacity, or at least what they've stated explicitly, and no reservations either. So we shall see. They are saying that there will be physical distancing enforced throughout the park. So with that kind of comes the assumption that they will limit capacity in the park as a whole, but they haven't explicitly said so. And I literally took screenshots of their presentation deck during the Orange County Economic Recovery Task Force meeting where they presented this plan. And I didn't see anything about capacity reduction. So we'll see.
We'll see. So I know that Busch Gardens Tampa also got local approval for June 11th as well. I haven't heard if they got state approval yet or not, but it's more than likely.
I think they did.
Okay.
I think they did. Don't let me check. Hold on. Do.
Please stand by.
Jeez, I thought Matt sent me a text or something saying it got approval. Maybe it was just the Hillsborough County.
But it's pretty much the state will probably approve it because it's probably going to be the same measures that SeaWorld gets, the same company.
Yep.
So we may see a Busch Gardens opening as well on June 11th. What I'm going to be interested in knowing is when, because, you know, SeaWorld and Busch Gardens both have coasters that have finished, ready to go.
Yep.
That's Icebreaker at SeaWorld and Iron Gwazi at Busch Gardens. So how soon are we going to see those open up?
Listen, I've seen pictures of Iron Gwazi, and I fear for my life.
Yes, we need a POV.
We do. Yeah, I need to see it so I can know if I'm going to die or not when I ride.
It's an RMC hybrid. Those things are insane. I've yet to ride one because I'm too tubby, but I and especially after the past 2 months, I need to lose some weight, but
me too.
I don't know how long it's going to be before I can ride Iron Gwazi. So, I'm excited though. Like it's a huge coaster. It's gonna be a big opening for Busch Gardens. I can't wait to, and Icebreaker looks fun too. So, I'm just interested to know when those are going to open.
Yeah, some notable things about SeaWorld that are different from other parks. They're eliminating single rider. They are, let's see, open play areas will be temporarily closed. Any parade components with guest interaction, so like the show stops and the Sesame Street parade, will be updated or removed. They'll still have character interactions, which is different from all the other parks. Mm-hmm. They will be modified to accommodate for social distancing. I really want to know how that goes because it sounds super awkward. And all rafts and ride vehicles will be limited to single specific parties, and unfamiliar guests will not be grouped with others that they don't know.
In terms of the social distancing Skunk Ape over at Gatorland, the fun way that they're doing that is the handler is saying, like, you just go ahead and take a selfie. Our Skunk Ape is very fluent in what the kids these days call photo bombing. So he's in the background just kind of doing that. So that's their kind of theme of how to do a character meet and greet there. So it'll probably be the same thing where you just take a photo and they're in the background or something.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes, because most of the time I know Sesame Street has that like show, like green screen themed photo op area, but then most of the characters you see are in the parade. So I really want to know how they're going to accommodate for that.
Yes, Universal's not gonna have single either, right?
Yes. Let me double check, but I believe you are correct.
Yeah, the lot of single rider lines are going to be gone for a little while.
Oh, geez. Where did it go? Sorry, guys. I have so many tabs pulled up at once.
That's all good. But it's, yeah, I know. Single rider and management labs. It's sad.
Huh. I don't have it on my list, but you're probably right.
Cool Daddy, yes, the Skunk Ape does rock. Mickey needs to wear a mask. That is for sure.
Dude, if they do that, I will lose my mind.
Yeah. They didn't do it in Shanghai. So.
No, they didn't. Because that's weird. That's like character integrity. You're making Mickey acknowledge the thing.
Yeah. Well, John's saying that there is no single rider at Universal.
Cool. All right. Well, there you go. No single rider. All right, next up is Walt Disney World. And keep in mind, they are not opening next week or the week after. They are opening on July 11th or starting a phased reopening on July 11th, with July 15th being the opening for Epcot and Hollywood Studios, and the former being the opening of Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom. So here are the basics for them. So they will require masks for guests ages 2 and up, as we said before, and all cast members. Temperature screenings will be required for guests and cast members. They will have limited capacity in the parks and reservations required to visit as well. Let's see. All temperature checks will be administered at the main entrances to the parks. Hand washing and sanitizing stations will be set up throughout the parks. Plexiglass will be added to points of sale in retail and food and beverage locations. Walt Disney World will reduce the capacity of its theme parks, restaurants, retail stores, attractions, buses, monorails, and other transportation that enables appropriate physical distancing, which is something that they specified that other parks didn't with the transport, because that's not really a thing. I think only Universal really does that, and it's just to and from their own hotels.
Yeah.
Parades, fireworks, and other events that create crowds will be temporarily suspended. Character meet and greets have also been suspended. It's not my list. Or not suspended, but they're going to be making appearances differently.
It's probably going to be like they're doing in Shanghai, where they'll be up on the train station or up on the stage away from guests. And you can, you know, like the penguins of Madagascar, smile and wave, boys, smile and wave.
Well, the way that they did it at Shanghai, they had kind of like an opening moment at the train station where they were all just like waving. And they have a Marvel one that is on the stage for their Marvel stage show. And it's kind of like a Galaxy Far, Far Away was at Hollywood Studios.
I guarantee you, because, you know, that's Shanghai. You know, their citizens know how to, you know, stay distant for their shows. We're not going to have shows. You know,
no.
I'm sorry, but the U.S. crowd does not know how to stay distant while watching characters sing and dance. So, you know, they may appear, but not for very long, because they're not going to want people to start crowding.
Yes. So high touch experiences like meet and greets and playgrounds will be temporarily suspended. So you can expect to see characters differently, but not go and meet them, hug them, high five them, etc.
Yeah.
Let's see, mobile ordering will be expanded, so that's cool. They should just roll it out to everywhere. And cashless transactions will be enabled at restaurants and retail locations and be encouraged with Magic Bands, Apple Pay, and Google Pay.
Rodney, this is what I was saying earlier, that it's gonna be a brand new reservation system for Disney. I guarantee you they will crash and crash often. But that's just gonna have to be the way that they, you know, get things fixed.
Yep. I'm really nervous. I'm not going to lie. It seems like a lot that they're trying to implement at once, which is why I feel like they're not opening in June.
Yeah. Yeah. Not get that July the 4th crowd.
Yeah. Oh my God. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting at Universal and SeaWorld when those crowds descend.
But a sad thing is that there are no Happily Ever After, no Festival of Fantasy Parade or anything like that for a good while. And then that means, like Amusement Lab said, Harmonious was supposed to be a thing.
Unconfirmed. We don't know. It's just hearsay that I don't think that project's gone. I've seen aerial photos that BioReconstruct has posted on Twitter. They were in the process of building those barges, and I think they were like over halfway done.
Yeah.
So they're not just going to scrap it at this point. Like, it's still going to happen. It may not happen this year. It may be 2021 now, but I don't think they're going to scrap that show completely.
Here's a question for you. What are they going to do for the 50th? What do you think is going to happen because of all of this now?
Well, I think what they're going to do is they're going to send an intern over to the Dollar Tree to get some party supplies. They're going to string it up around the parks and then take one of those little confetti crackers, pop it, and happy birthday. There's your 50th.
I'm so sad because, like, I know that they're probably not going to do anything now. And Josh and I were going to plan like this big like blowout. We were going to spend money on staying at a Magic Kingdom resort for a night, like do it big. And we were going to come and celebrate the 50th. And now it's just going to be a big fart. It's going to be nothing because all this is happening. Not that I'm like belittling the situation or whatever, because keeping people safe is ultimately more important. But it is kind of sad to see a milestone anniversary, you know, a historic moment kind of not really get what it deserves at the same time.
And Rodney, yes, that's entirely possible. Like, especially because Cedar Point and Knott's Berry Farm both had milestone anniversaries this year, like 100 and 150 years. So they are delaying that until the next year. So it could be entirely possible that Disney says, hey, you know, yes, October 1st, 2021 is our 50th, but we're going to wait until 2022 to have a grand celebration. Who knows?
I would be fine with that. That's fine. Because I think 50th is important. And Josh went to Disneyland or something. He was really obsessed with the 50th, but went for the 60th. And it's such a monumental event. It's a milestone year.
Yeah.
I think celebrating it is important. And if that means we have to wait a year or half a year, whatever.
Yeah, we were there on one of the Disneyland's, I think we were there on the 61st anniversary of Disneyland, because my daughter Spencer shares the same birthday as Disneyland. And I remember there being there for her birthday on the anniversary year for Disneyland. I think it was 61 or 62. It wasn't like a milestone anniversary, but it was still cool to see everyone celebrating it. And it's, you know, the past few years we've celebrated big milestones, and, you know, Epcot Studios, you know, they're, you know, 25th and 20th and 35th at Epcot. They're always fun celebrations, but they do bring out crowds. And who knows by October 1st of 2021, if, you know, things are more normal and they can afford to do crowds again, who knows? I don't know. At this point, it's just all speculative hearsay.
Yep.
They could surprise us and say, oh, we're still going to go all out, but it's highly improbable.
We'll just have to wait and see, but that's what Disney's doing for their July opening. We will be there. I won't be there, but I will be I will be virtually covering it.
Yes.
And Banks will likely be on the ground.
Yes.
Braving the crowds. So be sure to stay tuned for that, because it will certainly be interesting.
We'll have a lot to talk about next week after our good Legoland and Universal.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I was thinking about, too. I didn't mention it in the Universal discussion, but some of the aerial photos from BioReconstruct show that they've installed giant banners for the Bourne Stuntacular.
I saw at the entrance.
So they could be preparing to open that up either on the day or very soon after the reopening, and you know, doing every other row kind of thing in the seating in there. So, but at the same time, I'm curious how it's going to work out, because, you know, the show has a lot of close contact with the stunts and the stunt actors. So how's that going to work? I know that they're still doing shows. Like, I think a friend of mine who is in the Celestina Warbeck show, they've been doing rehearsals for that. So it's just, I'm curious to see how they're going to do some of the shows.
Yeah, maybe they screen the cast and they're like, you have to keep us updated on your contact so we can do contact tracing. And if you ever feel like you're getting sick, don't come to work.
Right, exactly.
Like super like helicopter parent-esque monitoring of these casts.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's the end of our main attraction discussion now. Guys, if you have any questions, let us know right now in the YouTube chat. We'll get to your questions in a minute. But I've got to say, we have breaking news on the podcast that we can talk about now and not have to wait a week, because I just saw this on Twitter.
What?
Universal Studios Japan has released a video and a date of June 19th for a reopening.
Let me see the video. We can react to it.
Here's the thing. They posted it and deleted it quickly. I don't think that was ready to get released yet.
What?
But June 19th looks to be around the time Universal Studios Japan will be reopening. What that means for Super Nintendo World, who knows?
Would it be bad if I wanted to go?
Do you still have travel bans, Brittany?
Why? Come on, guys.
Seriously, through people who are already there.
Yep. Man, but that's exciting. That is so exciting. I just want to see how the Mario Kart ride works. I just want to know how it works.
Thank you. I'm ready to see a video of this ride. Because
I mean, I feel like the rumor's always been like augmented reality, goggles and stuff like that. And they've never explicitly said, like, before it was like, you get to drive the cart. And then they released that trailer and no one's driving the cart. So I just want to know. I want to know how it works.
Yeah, because all we've seen is concept art and animated videos. We've never seen a single image from inside that ride or video from inside the ride. So I'm just so interested how many physical sets there are and animatronics. Like, give me my Mario Kart ride.
I need to see it. I need to see it and see how it works. And also, I just want to see the Yoshi one because it looks so cute and whimsical, like classic dark ride, happy, cute.
John, perfect comment. Classic Universal. How many times have they taken down an announcement? Too many.
Maybe someone accidentally hit send now instead of schedule tweet on buffer.
Oops. Morgan, birthday is in 2 months and 1 week from today. Well, happy early birthday.
Happy early birthday.
Come back around your birthday and we'll wish you a birthday again. So yeah, just, you know, June 19th, potentially. They deleted it, so who knows, but someone messed up and accidentally put that out there.
Oopsie. I love when this happens. I love when this happens because it's almost always still correct, or at least in the case of stateside Universal.
Right. Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Well, at this point, we want to thank our subscribers. So, of course, if you don't know, we do have a subscription plan at attractionsmagazine.com. You subscribe to our magazine in three different levels, and our club and VIP levels get shout outs when we get new members. So for this week, we want to shout out to, and if you want to help me with the list, Brittany, I'll stop at one point here. Sarah Bloom, Richard Chinnery, Mickey Gunter, Leslie Hobgood, Margaret A. Holt, and Patricia K. Houlihan. Thank you guys so much for being subscribers.
Kristen Kennedy, Kushner family, Randall Moon, Catherine Rivera, and Tatiana Rocchio, however you say it. Thank you so much for subscribing and supporting the magazine. We really appreciate it more than we could ever say.
Exactly. I'm sure I know we're going to have a lot more content for our subscribers coming out in the near future because, you know, it's my fault. We've been lacking in the subscriber only content. We want to give you guys your money's worth. So I'm planning some fun stuff in the near future for you guys. So of course you get the magazine with the subscription. You get other perks as well. If you're the VIP, you get a mystery merch box with every magazine that is sent to you. And this has got stuff in it that we've gotten from media events over the years. So there's some really rare things in there that were not sold in stores. So it's always fun to see what you get because no two box is ever the same.
That's
how you sell it.
That's how you sell it. I'd buy that for a dollar.
Daisy, thank you so much for subbing on the first day.
Thank you so
appreciate
much.
You. Rodney, of course, always appreciate your support. All right, so that is going to do it for this week for the Attractions Podcast. Brittany, where can everyone find you on the interwebs?
You can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it is spelled funny. On Twitter and Instagram and at twitch.tv/BritPlays with three T's. Sorry, I can't speak after speaking straight for an hour and 20 minutes.
So much info. Jeez.
Yep.
You can find me on Twitter at Banksley, on Instagram at Disney Goofball, and of course all the Attractions Magazine socials on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and of course attractionsmagazine.com. Wanted to give a little brief note on programming this week. Early Night Live, you know, we've been doing at home shows for 10 weeks. This past week was episode number 10 at home. This week we are venturing out for the first time since the reopenings, we are going to Disney Springs. After I went in person and from what Sydney was saying when she went, I feel it's comfortable enough for us to be able to go out safely and just kind of walk around Disney Springs and show you guys how things look out there on Early Night Live. So finally, we're heading back out to the parks this week and potentially next week we'll go to Universal. We'll see how that goes. So we'll still do at-home shows every now and then, but finally be able to get some fresh air and go out and have some fun and show you guys how these places are keeping guests safe.
Stretch them legs.
Exactly. I need to lose some weight, so I need to do a lot of walking.
I hope it goes well. I really do.
Yeah, me too. We're still trying to figure out how we're going to deal with, you know, standing with each other next to each other, and you know, keeping distance from each other if we need to, since we're the same party. It may not need. We're figuring that all out. We're going to be as safe as humanly possible. That's for sure.
Well, good luck. I will be tuning in and there in spirit.
Yes. And thank you guys again, sir, for tuning in to this episode. We will see you and talk to you next week. Go have fun. But most importantly, please stay safe, whatever you're doing out there.
Yes. Be safe. Take care of each other.
Do your best. Be your best.